Let's open our Bibles this evening. And we're back in 1 Peter. And we left off in the 4th chapter and the 16th verse. And, you know, praise the Lord, as has already been mentioned, we studied this last 4th chapter. And really, the Lord was bringing out the suffering. And these dear brothers and sisters were really caught up into, Lord, when are you going to bring your vengeance upon the ones that are persecuting us? When are you going to remove us from the furnace? And the Lord was so sweetly reminding them and, you know, reminding his vessel, Peter, that be still. Wait. Get the glory in the trial. Understand the purpose of the privilege to jointly suffer together with me. And brothers and sisters, we're in a time. We are. This is absolutely the time, the finishing time. Jesus is about to come. May God encourage our hearts to embrace, as Brother Paul did. He gloried in those trials. He gloried in the tribulation. He knew that the very power of Christ was resting upon him at this time. And that 12th through the 14th verse, glory, glory, and glorified. So that is the way. And it's the only way. It's the only way we're going to know him. It's the only way that we're going to be able to rule and reign jointly with him. And I appreciate that. I don't mean to make light of it when I say, oh, what a wonderful fringe benefit. But it's the only way I'm going to marry Jesus Christ. It's almost hard to contain myself sometimes. And I know you know that, but we're in the moment that we could be face to face. And I'm so grateful to God that he has brought that reality to this people. Praise his name. Now, picking up here in the 15th verse of the 4th chapter. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, and that means moral evil, or as a busybody, a meddler in other men's matters. And you think about those that he's saying there. I mean, we went from murderer to busybody. You know, sin has quite a spectrum, doesn't it? And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And we need to understand that. And there's many a Christian that will write you off if you're a murderer or a thief. But as the Word of God is encouraging us here, the Lord just doesn't want to have sin reigning upon our life. He's encouraged that, you know, we're his children. He wants that holiness to be magnified. He has made us holy. Now be holy. Allow the grace of God to work. And notice there in that 15th verse, it says, but let none of you, let. See, we have to let that happen in our life, just like we let God. It's what we're going to surrender to. We are serving a master tonight, believe it or not, every one of us. But whose master are we obeying? Is it the enemy? Is it the prince of the power of this world? Or is it by his grace are we allowing him to reign over us? Like we rejoiced in on Sunday. Lord, reign over me. Don't let these eyes try to justify ungodliness in my life. Don't let my principle, as those elders there in Israel, they saw Samuel's sons perverting the truth, getting caught up in the filthy lucre. And you could say that, well, they had every right to ask for something else, but they didn't, because that's what God chose. We can have a hard time with that. Now, I'm not saying that God willed that, in a sense, for those brothers that were doing that, but God allowed it for the testing. And there was a perfection that could have been worked there if they would have waited upon the Lord. But no, they rejected. And it wasn't Samuel that they rejected, was it? It was God. It was God. So we thank him that we do have the happy are ye in that 14th verse if we're reproached for the sufferings that we have in Christ and with Christ. The God-willed sufferings. That's a happiness. God doesn't want us to enter into this remorse and regret. He does not want us to be there. But thanks be to God, he's still there, even if I made my bed in hell. He's faithful. Praise the Lord. All right, moving on. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. And here it is. This is a privilege. Praise God. We glorify him. And as the Word of God says, he's going to have us to be glorified together with him. It's coming. As Brother Hill used to say so many times to us, payday someday. Payday someday. Don't look to this world to be our payday. Praise God. This world's riches, moth gets there. Thief steals. I tell you, if you paying any much attention to the markets at this time, you can see it's just gone, as they say, in a New York minute. Well, if that's where you're resting, and if that's where your confidence is, I feel sorry for you. I know some people that are, and their emotions, when it gets really bad, you've seen the stock market drop. I think it was, so many years back, they were jumping out the windows. Don't let that rule you like that. Your payday someday. And it can't be touched. It can't be corrupted. It's laid up. And praise God, what we're doing tonight, by His grace, it's growing. It's growing. And it's compounding at an increasing rate. Praise be to God. All right, verse 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Now, this verse gets so distorted, and it really plays into those who want to be self-righteous. And those that want to feel good about, well, see, God's going to judge you. Let me tell you something. God is judging us at this time for one thing and one thing only, and that's reward. All right? Now, when you accepted Christ as Savior, did He not say that all of your sins were washed away? Did He not say that your sin was separated as far as the east is from the west? That it was put into the sea of forgetfulness? Amen. So there is nothing to judge on that part of any type of condemnation. And the wonderful thing about this word judgment, it does mean justice. It means justice to esteem or to condemn. It has a dual purpose there. And praise be to God that the judgment that begins at the house of God, that means His children, it's the judgment to esteem. One star differeth from another in glory. Every man in his own order. How much glory are you going to let Him bestow upon you? How much are you going to take? Is it going to be a reward, or as it says in John there, a full reward? Praise God, that's what I'm after. And the full reward is His hand in marriage. And it is. That's what God is out to do at this time, is to find that goodly pearl for His Son. Praise be to God. But again, it says here, the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Now, I think there's even a deeper meaning here. I'd like to take a moment and let's go into this. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35. That's Hebrews 11, verse 35. Now, this is the Faith Hall of Fame. Such a wonderful portion of Scripture talking about all those worthies of faith in the Old Testament. Our brothers and sisters that represented the full overcomers in the Old Testament. Those that we would find there in the 24 elders that speaks about them, the 24 elders there in Revelation. And in verse 35 it says, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Well, praise God, we've been resurrected with Him. But this is something that when we are, it's asking for a better one. It shows that there's more than one. There's a brighter glory if we'll allow God to work that in our lives. So this was even for those in the Old Testament, the full overcomers that it's speaking of here, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Now stay with me here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. And it says there, wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, that's when Jesus rose, praise God, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So we know at that time that He took upper Sheol. That was the upper hell. That's where the Old Testament believers, when they passed, when they had died, they went to Upper Sheol. God hadn't prepared that place, in a sense, because Christ had to enter first up into heaven to bring Upper Sheol into heaven with God. And this is what he's speaking here, is that when he led captivity captive, he ascended up on high and led captivity captive. The very first root, the high priest, praise God, took that Upper Sheol. He took the bosom of Abraham. He took the Moses and the Ruth and the Esther and all those that were saved and gave themselves to that wonderful Jesus Christ, even back in the Old Testament, that they were raised up at that time into heaven. He took that Upper Sheol with him. So, let's now go over to Matthew 27 and verse 51. And I know this is review, but let me tell you something. It's good review. It's wonderful review. Let's rejoice in this. Because what we're getting at here is this, brothers and sisters, is the judgment. It says, therefore, the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And let me tell you something. Judgment has begun. The rewards have even been bestowed, and we're going to look at some of them here. So in Matthew 27, verse 51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. That was when he took captivity captive. That's when he took that Upper Sheol, and he took it up to heaven with him. Praise God. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Not all of them arose, but some of them arose. Some of them were given that wonderful body at that time to enjoy, more so than the other ones that continued to sleep, because there was a greater reward that was bestowed to them at that time, as there will be a greater reward bestowed to the bride than there will be to those that are waving palms. Now, brothers and sisters, it's there. It's there for us. And praise God. Remember when we talked about judgment last week? Besides meaning to esteem or to condemn, it also means to make a distinction, that there is a difference. And let me tell you something. These brothers and sisters, these overcomers in the Old Testament, were different. They were distinguished from the other saints that stayed in the grave. Praise God. They were given a wonderful blessing of having a body to enjoy things, praise the Lord, in a reward that the others were not able to enjoy yet and will never enjoy, because these are the ones that are the overcomers in the Old Testament. And then finally, if you turn over to Revelation 4:4, we'll just kind of finish this thought out. Here they are. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. The very first company seen in heaven. Praise the Lord. The 24 elders. I believe that the Word of God is exact. I think it's perfect. I think that you see that these brothers and sisters that are in this place, in these 24, are the overcomers in the Old Testament. These are the ones that, as it said there in Ephesians, gave gifts unto men. They received a wondrous reward. Praise the Lord. Because they became, in a sense, that alive, quickened, that they were given that body. Is that so wonderful to think that they're enjoying and have been enjoying the Lord in such a precious way, above and beyond those that were saved that are still in the grave? Praise be to God. So I hope that makes it a little bit maybe more clear, that when he says here, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, is that the Lord is judging, as we know, right now for the rewards. And he has already shown throughout the Old Testament overcomers that some of them have already been rewarded, and been rewarded in a great and wondrous way. So these again are wonderful types and shadows and reality of what the bride of Christ is to receive someday, and hopefully soon, and might be even tonight. Praise be to God. And if it first begin, going back to verse 17, chapter 4 of 1 Peter, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God. Isn't that wonderful? Because you see that if we're already in this judgment time, in a judgment of reward, what is it going to be for them that refused Christ Jesus? There's going to be an end. There's going to be a great judgment. Let me tell you something. God's not going to be mocked. He's not. And there is going to be justice. And God forbid anybody would go to hell. And obviously God forbid anybody would go to the lake of fire. But it's going to happen because God's not going to be mocked. And there's going to be justice. And there's going to be justice to those that refused His Son. And it's going to be made right. And that condemnation was their decision. Because this was the God that would have all men, all mankind, to be saved. His Son came to die for all men, not just some. That predestinated stuff where people are getting into to try to make themselves good, and the enemy's saying, oh, well, look, I was chosen and you weren't. Whom He foreknew. He foreknew. He wanted all. He was a God that's not a respecter of person. Praise the Lord. I look out among all the wonderful vessels here tonight, and we're all different. Praise the Lord. But in Him we're one. And I pray that's what we're seeing. I pray that's what we're going after. But see, there shall be an end, and there's going to be a judgment. Oh my goodness. And that's going to be the judgment of condemnation to them. And if the righteous, going on to the 18th verse, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Now, a lot of people think, well, Lord, You've made me righteous. Am I just scarcely saved? Let's go back and remember back in 1 Corinthians. Let's go to chapter 3 and verse 15. Let's read about those that are scarcely saved. Brother Hill used to talk about his sweet mama that said, you know, son, you can have that throne stuff. If I just get into heaven by the skin of my teeth, I'm going to be satisfied. Now that hurt Brother Hill's heart because he wanted so much more, whether it was for his mama or anybody in the congregation. By the grace of God, we want that banner over us is to grow in grace and knowledge, to grow up into Him in all things of that wonderful truth. Praise the Lord. But here's the ones. Let's start reading from the 12th verse of the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now if any man build upon this foundation, and that's the wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it. That's the day of reward. There it is again. His reward's with Him. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. A cold cup of water given in the name of a prophet has its reward. It has a wonderful reward. How much reward, brothers and sisters, as we sit here tonight, I hope we grasp this. You couldn't even fathom the reward that you're receiving from your God in sitting through a Bible study where we rightfully divide the Word of truth, the Word of God. His Word, isn't it just so precious to us? Hallelujah. And that's all by grace. If any man's work shall be burned, there in the 15th verse, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Well, there's the ones that are scarcely saved. And praise the Lord, they're still saved. Just like Brother Lot, he was justified just as much so as Abram. Just as much. Hallelujah. But the reward was completely different. Completely different. And we know that. And thanks be to God that He's given us that insight into that. And it's not something to be puffed up about. It's not something to be conceited about. It's not something to be prideful about. It's just absolutely, Lord, 100%, I am thankful. I am thankful to God that You have allowed me to see Your Son in this manner. I know it was nothing of myself, but praise the Lord that You saw a heart in ages past, and You said in Your Word that You would all men to be saved and come to a full, a complete, and exact knowledge of the truth. And that you set this before us tonight. And Lord, we're going after you. Praise God, as Brother David said, my soul panteth after you. Yeah, there's a desire. And God gives us that desire. Hallelujah. So, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Judgment's coming. It's coming, and it's coming quickly. A step between you and death. Life but a vapor. Praise God that we would be encouraged to be about the Lord's business. 19, wherefore, let. There's a lot of letting. Let them that suffer according to the will of God. There it is, isn't it? The will of God. Not the allowance of God. But the will of God. Not suffering as a murderer or a thief or as a busybody. But God willed suffering. The suffering when by His grace we've been doing the right thing. We've been following Paul as he followed Christ. That's the suffering by His grace that I want to have that. I want to be ridiculed, if it be so, for loving Jesus. I do. That's what I want to be chastised for. That's what I want to be mocked for. There's a rejoicing in my heart when I see people, in some respect, I want you to understand this, I do have compassion for them. That I'm sad for them. But they don't know what they're doing. They're just helping polish my crown. Oh yeah. You mean you gave that up for that? No, I didn't give up anything. I just took more. How's that? And it's the truth. We have to be fully persuaded, brothers and sisters. That's it. Singleness of heart and mind. There's a mark. It's set before us. There's a prize that we may win Him. And there's just nothing to compare. And thank God that He's putting that desire in our hearts. So wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing. In well-doing. Trust Him. Focus on the purpose. Don't get focused upon your suffering. Don't let that myrrh, that's the suffering, where you just get so involved with it that I'm just going to sit there and play with it and I can't even open the door, I can't do anything because I'm just focused on the myrrh. Got to move on. Got to move on. Praise God from glory to glory. Allowing God to continue to encourage. Brothers and sisters, I know that for the moment it doesn't seem joyous. Don't get me wrong. We understand that. But hallelujah, we're talking about I'm seated in the heavens in Christ right now. That's where you are. And it's all by faith. It's by faith. We hear many times, and I've said this, I've heard it from many different sources. I know that one brother here, he thought it was just his. But I've heard it from people. Well, if God had just lit a candle in front of me, I'd believe. I got to see a little miracle. Well, I'm going to tell you the biggest miracle that I've ever seen. And I give Him all the glory. Is the inferno that's burning in my heart to see Him. Come on. Really. Examine yourself. Praise the Lord. That's the miracle. Oh, wretched man that I am. And yet I'm here tonight. And that I really believe You, Lord. Start reading Romans. You're a miracle in the making. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So here it is. Let's commit ourselves to Him by His grace and the keeping of our souls to Him in well-doing. Let's not grow weary, okay? as unto a faithful Creator. And the reason we commit it to Him is because He's forever faithful. He can't fail. He can't help but do what's good for my life. He said He'll perfect that which concerns me. But He doesn't want me to focus on me because He's already got that covered. Isn't that something? You can see again how the enemy will come in and say, well, He perfects that which concerns me, so I have to be consumed with me. No, that's not faith, is it? It's moving on. I want to be focused upon Him. It's His will. It's His knowledge. Oh, praise the Lord. I don't want to get too bogged down. We've got to move on. All right, chapter 5. Brother Schofield calls it the Christian service. I appreciate that. This is just continued glory. It is. I think we'll find that out. So chapter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now, it's so precious here, these elders that were with these people, these are the ones that are in spiritual care. And that's what this elder refers to. And it's so precious here. Here's Brother Peter. He's not trying to elevate himself. I'm just like you. I'm an elder. Praise God. I'm here for your spiritual care because God, by His grace, has made me a vessel that is willing and joyfully willing to give out the Word of God. So joyfully willing that he didn't know at this time, but God was going to really bless him and allow him to be crucified upside down upon a cross. Pretty awesome, isn't it? He didn't seek to be puffed up like he did all through those Gospels. He's learning how to be brought low. And Lord, you're going to increase, but I must decrease. It's the only way it's going to happen. He's shown me even by His grace when He allows me by grace to come up and share His Word. I want to disappear by His wonderful grace, by His Holy Spirit, that we may just see Him. That you would just see and that I would just see the love of God. That's what He wants us to rejoice in. That's what's pleasing to God, as we magnify His Son. But here it is. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Sure, Peter was there to witness the sufferings of Christ. But what he's even getting at here more is the sufferings of Christ that he was allowed to partake in, to jointly reign in, to jointly share in. That's why he says, I'm also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. And this word glory is so wonderful because it's the same glory that you find in chapter 8 of Romans, glorified together with Him. It's that glory. God is talking about the glory. This life is about glory. This wonderful gospel is the gospel of the glory. It's the glorious gospel. It's all about glory. And what he's asked us is to glory in his Son and in the bridegroom that he is. He's glorying in us. And Christ in me is the hope of glory. Oh, the dots of love. Always bring you back to Calvary, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God that we love him. All right. So it goes on to verse 2. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Now this is really sweet here because the Lord is encouraging through Peter, feed the flock. I think I remember back when the Lord said to Peter, feed my sheep. Remember that? Praise the Lord. And I'll give you a little insight if he does tarry. We're going to that scripture this Sunday. And it's so wonderful how there's the different loves there. Did you know every time he says feed, the last feed is different from the first feed? Absolutely. That those first two feeds were, well, you feed them the Word of God. That last feed is everything. Lead them, son. See, only the Holy Spirit can do that. That's the power from up on high. Praise the Lord. And he's encouraging these elders, feed the flock of God. You're God's. You are God's flock. You understand that? You're His and His alone. And I appreciate this, which is among you. And I think of this as pastors that are out there. Sometimes I meet people that want to pastor everybody. The flock that's among you. God has allowed me to pastor a wonderful flock because it's His. Very fat sheep. No insult intended. But you're growing in the Lord. Stall-fed calves, we heard that often, didn't we? Yes. And that's the rejoicing. Praise the Lord. What Peter has become, he's taken all of the emphasis and all of the attention off of himself. And he's starting to get a vision. He's starting to follow Paul as he followed Christ. I think how perfect it is, how we came through 1st and 2nd Corinthians, how Brother Paul was preaching to those Corinthians and encouraging and rebuking and exhorting and all of the different things that were coming around to correct. But the whole thing was quit being selfish. Quit trying to take the attention. You don't want that. That's not how you're going to grow. He must increase, but I must decrease. Decrease. Not just even stay the same. Get more out of the way. Allowing Him to be magnified. Praise the Lord. Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint. That means a few different things here. Not unwillingly. Or not by force. Now you think of what many religions in this world do today. It's by force. It's by guilt. Oh, absolutely. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans. The power over the people. The laity. A thick organization. And I'm not talking about the bureaucracy in our United States. I'm talking about churches. Because there's a seeking of power. And I read the Word of God and there's only one. There's only one mediator between God and man. And that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh yeah. See, I don't have to go through channels. I don't have to wait in line. I just go boldly to the throne of grace and know it. Know it. Don't let religious circles tell you otherwise. You search these things that they're so. And we know that we have direct access because of our wonderful Savior to the Father. All right. So he says, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, joyfully, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And we read about that ready mind last week. We want to have a mind that's armed, don't we? Dangerous. Praise God. The sword. Cutting away. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's what our God is. See, Brother Peter got a passion. He got a passion to see the children of the Lord growing up. That's what he got. It wasn't just for himself. It was for the people of God. And I think about, you know, people talk about mission statements. What is your mission statement? I hear this often, believe it or not. They'll call up and say, well, could we help you with your mission statement? Could we help you with your mission? And I think of all the different mission statements that are at churches today. How many numbers can we get? How big can we get? How big can we grow? How much money can we raise? How many more buildings can we build? And then it gets even to better things. How many people can we save? How much of the world can we reach? We'll get there if the Lord tarry. Peter said, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Huh? Yeah. That we would grow up into Him in all things. You want another one? How about that we may win Him? How about another one that we would have a full reward? Huh? How about that we would be the bride that hath made herself ready? I don't know about you, but when I read the Word of God, that's what He wants. And it's over and over and over and over throughout the Word of God. And Jesus has been the same yesterday, today, and forever. So praise the Lord that these are the things that were even encouraging dear brother Peter's heart. He pulled him out of self and he put him into the very will of God. Hallelujah. All right. And when the chief shepherd... Oh, excuse me. Let's go back to verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. So, watch out when people want to be lord over you. You have one lord over you. I feel sorry for folks. I appreciate that you love me. I love you. And that's just only God. But He's over us. It's Him. Hallelujah. And He encourages us. And praise the Lord, I'm an under-shepherd, in a sense, to lead, to feed. But it's Him. He's the one that does it. He's the one that provides. He's the one that we follow. This is God's heritage. You know what that means? God's inheritance. You're His inheritance. You think, man, he got a bad deal, didn't he? I'm just teasing. You don't realize what God sees in you. You're His inheritance. That's the heritage. That's what He's saying here. Praise the Lord. This is how He loves you. And here's what Brother Peter says. But being in samples to the flock. And that's not just being an example. That's a pattern. There's a pattern that is what is meant there. There's a pattern that needs to be worked in us. We talked about that pattern for many years in this place. That's being stitched in our life. And praise God, it is the pattern of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And Brother Peter was, I'm not going to say that he could attain to the bride because that wasn't for him. God allowed him to sit upon a throne to rule over the 12 tribes. But I'm talking about for him to receive the full reward that God had for him. There was a pattern in this brother's life. And let me tell you something. He's a wonderful vessel that was willing to have the very high calling of God in Christ Jesus to be poured forth through it in Scripture. So to that, I say I'm very thankful for this brother. Because I don't know. I'm sure that there was a frustration. We'll get to a point where it says that, you know, Brother Paul, some things were hard to be understood, weren't they? Huh? Do you think maybe he was a little bit like Daniel and he wanted to pull a little bit more in there and say, Lord, show me a little bit more? But the Lord kind of closed that side of it up for him and said, no, honey, that's not for you. You're going to be very well satisfied. I don't know. But I kind of think that there was some insight there, but a willingness to allow God to do the work and to finish the faith as God saw fit in his life. What a reward, huh? Praise God. All right. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, see, there's no doubt here. Shall appear. Shall be revealed. I love this. Isn't this wonderful? There's no doubt in what it's talking about here. Shall be. It's going to be. This is the Word of God. And when the chief shepherd, this is the high priest, this is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, there's no maybe here, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Hallelujah. I just am so grateful. I'll mention the verse here, 1 Corinthians 9, 16 and 17. You'll read back there, that was Brother Paul. He said, if I do this willingly, There's a reward for me. Brothers and sisters, that's speaking to all of us because we all have a ministry in Him. It may be just the ministry that you have to your children. It might be the ministry that you have at work, at school, all of these different things. Is one ministry greater than the another? Absolutely not. Because that's the ministry that God has for you. And we had better accept where He has placed us in the body, or we're never going to be part of that glorious body that's going to be taken from out of the body. Amen. Amen. All right. Going on. Verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. We don't like to hear that, do we? It is a wonderful honor to submit yourself to the elder. There is. Please do that. It's good for you, especially young people. Learn to do it now. I still have my kids call adults Mr. and Mrs. or brother and sister. If you hear it differently, let me know. Because it's for their good. This stuff about, I want to show myself friendly, but I'm their dad. And most of you that I'm looking at tonight, but you're their elder. But as their elder, as it said here when we started, you're to be in spiritual care. Did you know that? Oh yeah, that's your calling too. Oh, that was just my pastor. No. It's your care too. To whom much is given, much is required. So there's testimony that needs to be flowing out all over the place. Praise the Lord. So, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. But then he just says, you know what? Let's just catch it all. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. Submit. And why? And be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. What he's encouraging here, and how wonderful that he's bringing it through Peter, the vessel that tried to be exalted above every other vessel there ever was. Lord, I'll never forsake you. Lord, I'm going to fight them and never let them take you. Well, I'm even going to take a sword and cut that guy's ear off. All of those good things that we would think, all those were commendable traits. And all the Lord could say was, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, what he's saying here is be willing to be abased. Be willing to be brought low. And actually not even be willing to seek it. What do you think of that? You're going to go home tonight and pray? Lord, bring me low. I hope so. Do we believe the Word of God? Really, do we believe the Word of God and what it says? It's not just a fairy tale. It's the truth. It's His ever-living Word. And this is what He is calling. Now, He's the one that does it. It's nothing that I do. It's like Brother Hill used to say, I don't go get my bed and pull off the mattress and everything and sleep on the springs or lay on the floor to suffer. Absolutely not. God will bring that in. If He's given you a good bed, don't be a knothead. Get in it and use it. Be thankful for what He's given. Don't be self-righteous about it. And you know, the Lord deals with me about those things. Believe it or not, He does. I appreciate what He's given me in my life. I don't want to be ashamed of the Lord. I don't want to live obnoxiously and all of those different things. But you know what? Let Him lead you. I'm learning these things. Might be difficult for you to watch, but I'm still in school, and believe it or not, you are too. And we're growing up in Him, and praise God that we're growing up together in Him. All right. So, he's saying, be clothed with humility, because God resists the proud. And what I love about this word resist, it doesn't mean that He leaves you alone. You would like that, but He'll never leave you alone, especially His child. It means He battles against. Did you know that? He battles against that. And He does. And I know it. Because I've been there. And praise the Lord, tribulation worketh patience. And I'm saying, Lord, I just want to be patient. I don't want to bring any undue suffering on my life. But see, He loves us so that He's going to continue to work that. Jacob was a wrestler. God said, game on. I'll wrestle with you. You're not going to like it. And you don't like it, do you, when you wrestle with God? It's not comfortable. I like when I just hug and caress and we love each other that way. But see, in His, whom He loves, He chastens. And there's a correction going on. Praise God. All right. Keep moving along here. All right. So He giveth grace to the humble. All right. Now let's think about that and read the next verse. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. See, this is something that God asks of us. You heard Brother Hill say many times before, Lord, humble me, that man said. And he found out that the Lord really told him, let me tell you something, son, if I had to humble you, I'd kill you. And I understand that. I really do. God, in His infinite grace and mercy, and He'll give us grace to humble ourselves. But Lord, let me realize that I am nothing without You. That it's by the grace of God I am what I am. Mm-hmm. Everything that I have, everything that I am. If I had the desire and the diligence to go through school, to become the greatest in my occupation that I ever could become, that was all His doing. Do you realize that? That nice car maybe you drive, I don't know. That nice wife and pretty wife that you have, it wasn't because you were so handsome. It wasn't. It's called the grace of God. Oh yeah. I love the grace of God. I told you, Lord told me. I said, Lord, just bring it on. Bring it on. Now, a lot of people think, well, that's just the rewards and the nice things that we think of as rewards, as pluses in our life. But no, the greatest rewards and the greatest grace that He gives us is to sustain through the trial, to understand the purpose of the trial. So be ready. But He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may, there's a reason for this, exalt you. There's glorify again. Glorified together with Him in due time. You'll read that again in John 3:30. He must increase, but I must decrease. Praise the Lord. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. See, we cast our care upon Him, bottom line, because He loves us. He just absolutely 100% is in love with us. So in love with us that He gave His only begotten Son. And you notice here, it's not some of your care. It's not the big things in life. It's all of it. It's every single bit of it. And the question really becomes is our all on the altar laid? Is it all laid there? Is everything that concerns my life, is that really there on the altar? I don't want to have hidden things. And you know why? Because there's nothing hidden from God. Amen. The only one I'm trying to fool is myself. So I want to come boldly before the throne of grace and obtain that wonderful mercy that'll cause me to be honest before the Lord. Lord, quit allowing me, willing me to do of Your good pleasure. I don't want to be a liar before God. I want to be honest and come to Him with the things that are hindering my life. Amen. And really come up and pray and say, Lord, help me. Help me. This is a finishing time. Praise the Lord. Every hair of our head He cares for. Verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now this is to Christians. He's speaking here to Christians. And the devil, we know, is out there to steal, kill, and to destroy. And as the Word of God says about the wonderful crown that He has laid in our hands, to hold it fast, which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Well, this is the one that wants to steal that crown. To not allow us to have the overcoming life. But look at the two things that defeat this devil. It's sober and vigilance. And those two words mean awake and watchful. Are we awake and watchful in the things of God tonight? Praise the Lord. It means not to be intoxicated with the world. It also means not to allow scriptural or spiritual error to enter into our lives. It means to spiritually awake. As the Word of God tells us, He'll appear to those that are watching, that are waiting, that are loving His appearing. Praise God. That's it. That's what we need to be about, is this and these two wonderful sober and vigilance. Verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. So this is the devil we're resisting here. And this word resist doesn't mean to run away. It means to stand against. You've got a path. God has put you on a path. There's going to be obstacles there that He has foreordained. Before the foundation of the world, He has put those there. He's allowed the devil to come in to tempt for our gain. And He doesn't want us to flee. We have to go, praise God, and to go on and to overcome. And the way this is done is one way. It's in faith. Ephesians 6 talks about all of the wonderful armor that God gives us. Praise the Lord. And the only way that we can resist, it's not in works, it's not in good thought, it's not in something that I'm going to do, or I'm going to chant, or I'm going to do something like that. It's by faith. It's believing the Word of God, believing that He is for me, and who can be against me. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And brothers and sisters, that's everyone. There's no other way. It has to be this way. It's a narrow way. It's a way of suffering. You will never get around it. If you really want God's best, it is going to be that way. I'll hurry along because I would like to finish out chapter 5. But the God of all grace is just like the God of all comfort. It's everything when you're talking about God. It's everything. It's His. He's peace. He's grace. He's love. He's the rest. He's everything. Who hath called us. This is our calling. How many people say, oh man, I just got to find my calling. Yeah, you do. And it's real simple. Grow up. Grow up. Be still. All of these things. But He has called us. And what has He called us to? His eternal glory. And it's all by Jesus Christ. I give you Colossians 1, 16 and 17. By Him. By Him. All things made consist, hold together. Without Him, it's over. It's just scattered. Know that for your own life. In Him, there's such consistency. Isn't that wonderful to have consistency? I love it. Praise God. And it's all in Jesus Christ. After that ye have suffered a while. So see, here's the thing. He has called us into this eternal glory, but it comes one way. And here's the way. After that ye have suffered a while. Have you suffered a while? I know all the hands are going up. Yes, you have, because He loves you. And here's why. Because after you suffer a while, He'll make you perfect. That word means fit and complete. That's the fully grown, fully mature. See, you're going to have to fit the dress. The dress is not going to be altered to fit you. One size. Perfect. Fit. Complete. Mature. I was reading about her today in the Song of Solomon, chapter 4. Man, was he infatuated with her. Praise God. Do you see how descriptive he gets? The lips and the eyes and the hair and the neck. And then the mind. He's in love with her mind. Her temples. I love how he talks to us. Establish. That means to be fixed, to be set. This is important because he really brings this out twice. This is Ephesians again and again. In some respects, I'd love to just stay here and we could just stay here and stay here till he comes. But I do believe the Holy Spirit's encouraged to move along. But it's to stand and withstand, and having done all, stand. Just stand in it. It's good. Be content to stay with the stuff. Stay with the stuff. It's awesome. It's wonderful. And anymore, staying with the stuff, it's really new. I think about how when the Lord has me talk to people now, it's almost like, well, I've never heard that before. That is really neat. You guys are like cutting edge Christians, aren't you? See, it is new. It is new. You just don't realize how new it is. God, don't let us draw back. Praise the Lord. All right, strengthen. That means divine promise. Have a little strength. Understand, we're divine promise. We've been called into His divine promise. Exceeding great and precious promises. And settle you. He places us as a pillar, is what that's saying. And you go there and you read about in Revelation about those Philadelphia saints. A pillar. Praise God. Adds to the usefulness of the husband. All these things coming together in that wonderful sister. I appreciate all that encouragement. But this is what he wants. Joint heirs. Co-laborer. Jointly. Everything's together. Praise the Lord. I've been just off and running in His glory. We're back into Palm Sunday here again. And there He is coming in. That triumphant entry. On that little donkey. But he never forgets his wife. He's got the little colt with him too. Always with him. From the very beginning. And he's always with him from the very beginning. He set that place for her. To him be glory and dominion. He's in control, brothers and sisters, forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, Silas, a faithful brother unto you, as I supposed, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. And I'll go ahead and read the next one. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus my son. So, and I apologize, I think I said Silas, this is Silvus. He went with Paul, and Mark was with Barnabas, and that was Acts 15. And if you remember there, they both parted there was a parting asunder. So they had both of those brothers with those wonderful spiritual leaders there, in a sense, in that vessel, Paul and Barnabas. But here it's so precious that, you know, I see that Peter really became a salve and was able to, by the grace of God and the enabling of the grace of God, encouraged him to be the salve that allowed these brothers to come back together and to rejoice. Isn't that a marvelous thought? And here it is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. There's nothing else that we could ever stand in except the grace of God. It's His enabling. It's His doing. That church, the Babylon there, means Rome. They salute you. And there, praise God, here's John Mark, my son. As he says, and that's a spiritual son. It wasn't his son. And then finally, brothers and sisters, it's greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you, all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Don't draw back from that holy kiss. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful. And that is such peace that God gives us. And it is in Jesus Christ. And I hope that it's encouraged you, this study in 1 Peter. And Lord willing, we'll go on to 2 Peter. And praise the Lord. You'll find that in that second letter, we're going to see even more growth, more amazing spiritual edification that is coming out of this wonderful vessel. All right, let's stand and be dismissed.